It's good to be with you once again, and I'd like to consider with you a little bit this morning about the movements of the book of Isaiah with the help of the color-coded chart behind me. And as I said, I have a handful, just a few handheld charts if you'd like to take one home. But when we look at the study of Isaiah, it's a huge study. It's a large book. And yet some would say that it's a miniature of the Word of God itself. What we mean by that is when you look at the book of Isaiah, you find found therein 66 chapters, just as if there's also 66 books in the Word of God. And when we consider the study of Isaiah, we could break it into two primary sections. The first 39 chapters, likened to the 39 books of the Old Testament, we see judgment in that flow that is very similar to what we find much in the Old Testament. And then beginning in chapter 40 to 66, those 27 last chapters would be parallel and likened to the New Testament flow as we see much about comfort and things to come. So as we consider the division between the book of Isaiah, we think in terms about how the prophet being called of God to warn Judah. We think of the nation of Israel, but particularly we think of the southern kingdoms, as it were, particularly Judah. Now, when you see Israel split into two parts during that split divided kingdom, in the north there were, well, none of the kings were said to be good kings, but about half of them were said to be good in the south, some of which that did that which was right, according to their father David. And so we see David, of course, is the king. The great Davidic covenant was given through David of how the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come. And we see he would sit one day upon the throne of David. And yet some of the kings in the south would be those that were good kings and that would look to honor the God of Israel. And so we find at the beginning of Isaiah, it mentions four kings from Judah, and this outlines the time period of the book of Isaiah, during the reign of these four kings, one of which is Hezekiah, one of the good kings of Judah. If you have the Bible in front of you, maybe we could briefly turn to the book of Acts before we go back to Isaiah, Acts chapter 8. As we see before us on the top of the chart, we find a quote from the book of Acts, chapter 8. We see Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You see, he was reading this eunuch that was riding along. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, we are introduced to this one Philip, an evangelist. In verse 27, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And we find in the following verses of this story that this Ethiopian eunuch, trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. We find the book of Isaiah rich concerning the gospel and truths concerning salvation. You know, the name Isaiah in Hebrew means Jehovah's salvation, the Lord's salvation. And so we could study that throughout the book of Isaiah, things concerning the good news. There are many messianic passages in conjunction with that good news, that is, portions that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind that Isaiah was written some 700 years before the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. So as we read these portions, these messianic passages, keep in mind some 7 centuries before the Lord came to earth, incarnate in the flesh, we see the prophet writing of the one that was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. So as we consider the flow of the book of Isaiah first, then I would like to spend a little bit of time at a portion of Isaiah in the latter part, in the, as we call the New Testament section of comfort. But first, the flow of Isaiah. Now you'll notice that we have a color-coded chart, which is helpful because as many Bible charts are very busy. You'll notice that we have green with the acronym of SIN, here describing the flow of the first half or first section, chapters 1 to 39. We see sin. When you move into the New Testament section, we see in the red the Son. We think of things concerning the Lord Jesus, and therefore the comfort and the peace that we have, it comes through knowing the Son. You see, in the book of Isaiah, the problem was this, that they were guilty of great sin. And the prophet was speaking, particularly to Judah, that they needed to repent, that they needed to acknowledge their sin. Isaiah 1 speaks in great, clear terms of how their sin was seen in the, before God. Their whole body was sick, he said. They needed to repent. They needed to turn to the Lord God of Israel. And so in these first 39 chapters, we see that there is the warning of judgment to come, and that the Assyrians were wanting to come and to overtake Judah. They had been successful in doing so with other nations. And we see, of course, in the north, we see the Assyrian captivity. They came and taken the north. But what about Judah? Well, part of this Old Testament section, ending in chapter 39, is there's a linking section. You may recall in chapters 36 to 39, it's a historical portion. It speaks about when Hezekiah was on the throne. And that king of Assyria, Sennacherib, sent messages of threats and said, "How can your God deliver you? Look at all the other nations that I have taken down. Why would your God be able to stop me?" And so as we see, the threats were coming from Sennacherib. So we'll hold on that thought for a moment. It's a great link to the second section of the book of Isaiah. What will happen in conjunction with the threats coming from Assyria? So by the way, when you come into the second section of Isaiah, there's a bit of a chronological gap. In other words, we find in other books like Jeremiah and Daniel things concerning when Judah would temporarily be taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And so between this first section and the next section, you do well to look at other portions of Scripture to find that section of time in Israel's history. Yet, when we look to the second section, we find these chapters, beginning in chapter 40, "Comfort ye, comfort ye." It's looking beyond captivity. We're reminded of how there was yet a temporary captivity in Babylon, but the Lord delivered them. Thus, we see Ezra and Nehemiah talking about the time of revival, time of rebuilding. They were not permanently taken in or destroyed. The Lord delivered them. So as we think in terms of now, back in these times of Assyria making threats, the Lord is pointing out the judgment that's pending and how that the Lord is calling them to repent. It's a great gospel message in Isaiah chapter 1, likened to the message that we have and that we need, that we are all born sinners and that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to repent. We need to admit that we have been bitten by the disease of sin, that we're guilty of sin. And we need to do as Isaiah reminds the children of Israel, to turn to the Lord God. Just like the Lord told there in John 3 to Nicodemus. He reminded what was said in the days of Moses, when they, wandering in the wilderness, were bitten by serpents. And they were to die. And yet he said, if you look up to that serpent on the pole, you shall live. And that in John 3 was a reminder of how the Son of Man was going to die for our sins. And that if we look up to that cross, we look up to the one on that pole, and we put our faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, we that have been bitten by the serpent of sin, we can live. We can have eternal life if we but confess our sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we find this one, as we look at the message to Judah, you are desperately wicked in your hearts. You are in need of repentance. You need to turn to the Lord God of Israel. And so we find that in the first subsection of this study of Isaiah, there are three sections. This first section is rich in messianic passages. We see in Isaiah 6, when he's called, that is, Isaiah is called as a prophet, we find that scene when he sees how undone he is, a man of unclean lips, and yet he sees that one that's holy, holy, holy. And the Lord calls him, Isaiah, to speak on behalf of the Lord to Judah. And yet within this same area, we find these passages, chapter 7 and 9. You recall the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. Chapter 7, it speaks of the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. The book of Matthew confirms that means God with us. God manifests in the flesh. Then two chapters later, in chapter 9, it speaks about, again, in prophecy of the Lord's birth. It says, unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. And it goes on about the government will be upon his shoulders and so on. Then we see later in that same section, we find in chapter 11, it speaks about, behold, it speaks about that one that will come out of the root of Jesse. We think of that one that will come, that kingly line, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, from that Davidic line. And so we find portions that are rich in messianic calling about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you'll notice that in each of these subsections in the book of Isaiah, it ends with a shout of joy. Now that's kind of an opposite of what we find in this first section, where there's much about judgment, prophecies of judgment in Isaiah 1 to 39. But yet, as you work your way through, we're reminded that there's a shout of joy. If we yet but turn to the true and living God, there's a shout of joy. There's a lot of songs in the book of Isaiah, or in poetic language. We find, particularly in the midst of the book, we find Isaiah 53. In those chapters surrounding Isaiah 53 that are called the Servant Songs of Jehovah, from chapters 42 to 53, there are four servant songs speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ as the perfect servant of Jehovah, the one who came to do the Father's perfect will. As thus we see on the chart before us, this is the heart of the message. This is the heart of the book of Isaiah, and that is these chapters in the second section, which the very center of that, the very heart of that, is 53. And thus we see that wonderful passage that's quoted time and again, as we read that which the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, Philip preached Jesus unto him. Time and again, when we come to remember the Lord Jesus Christ on the Lord's Day morning, a brother will stand up and read from Isaiah 53. It's rich concerning the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find in this section here, it speaks of that pronoun he, him, or his. Time and again, I believe it's over 50 times, you see a pronoun referring to deity. This is speaking of an individual. He did no violence, and he knew no sin. He was despised and rejected of men. He suffered silently. His soul was made an offering for sin. He was forsaken and smitten of God. He shall be satisfied, and so on. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we work our way through this first section, yes, there is a shout of joy
When we accept that one, that Messiah that the prophet is speaking of, there's a shout of joy in our hearts. And so for time's sake, I won't go through the details of each of the subsections now, but you can study at your leisure with a handout that I have. But as we move into the New Testament section, the latter part, remember that linkage in the middle, that historical section at the end of the first primary portion there with Hezekiah, chapters 36 to 39. The call for judgment has been pending. What will they do? Of course, we see Sennacherib has said, there's no way to stop the judgment from coming. I in Assyria will bring you down. So what does Hezekiah do? Hezekiah goes to the word of God through the prophet Isaiah. Hezekiah goes to the house of God. And Hezekiah goes to the Lord in prayer. That's like in how we ought to turn to the Lord in our difficulties and at all times. We need to go to the word of God. We need to be among those in the house of God. And we need to go to the Lord in prayer. And in doing so, we see the Lord answered that prayer. And we see as Hezekiah spread out those letters of threats before the Lord knew them. He's looking for our heart. He's wanting to see that we are in tune with him. So Hezekiah, even though the all-knowing God knew of the threats of Sennacherib, Hezekiah spread them out before the Lord. Said, Lord, this is what's going on. These are the threats that we stand before. And the Lord answered prayer. He says, no one will set foot from Sennacherib in Jerusalem. And he delivered them. And thus we find great deliverance. And yet, that would bring us now into the next section. Beginning in chapter 40, as we say, parallel with the New Testament section, we find comfort ye, comfort ye. So again, as there's the opposite over here, when it's much judgment in Isaiah, chapters 1 to 39, there is the shout of joy that we can find through looking to the Messiah. Whereas over here, when it comes to comfort, and that is the overall theme of the latter part of Isaiah, we find the opposite here. That if we reject the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in time and again, and at the end of each of the subsections of this second area, there's no peace for the wicked. There's no peace for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. Yes, the New Testament flow, we find the emphasis of the Lord Jesus. We see the emphasis of peace and comfort that comes through him. But if we reject him, there is no peace for the wicked. So as we think of the Son, the Lord Jesus, S-O-N, the Son of God, within this study of comfort and peace, we find in this middle subsection, particularly, or actually beginning back here, we see from 42 to 53, those servant songs of Jehovah, dealing with the message that speaks concerning our Savior. There's four servant songs, one in chapter 42, the delighted servant, one in chapter 49, the redeemer servant, one in chapter 50, the humiliated servant, and then at the end of 52, on through 53, we see the righteous servant. And thus, each of these portions speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So with that, let's turn in Isaiah, please, to that section, Isaiah 40.